Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, the unhip host, because he doesn't know who Band of Horses is. We're going to get into this topic and have some fun with this. Best animal performances in film and on TV. And Dan Feinberg obviously wanted us to mention all of the animal performances in Babe, in both Babe movies. And Esmeralda, the first one that Esmeralda picked was Toby from Used Cars. And if you haven't seen Used Cars, Toby's performance is extraordinary. And he's a beagle, right? Toby's a beagle, correct? Or like a mix, but he looks kind of beagle-ish, doesn't he?
Ooh, I don't remember.
I think he's a beagle. I'm pretty sure Toby's a beagle. I also am pretty sure that only six people who are listening right now know who Toby is from Used Cars. It was not a very popular movie when it came out. I mean, it has since, you know, got a nice reputation and a good following. But, man, when that movie came out, it didn't do well at all. So, and we'll get to that in a second. But
by the way, searching for Toby in Used Cars just pulls up images of Toby Maguire shopping for cars.
That is hilarious. See, Dan, that's how far down on the radar Used Cars is. But by the way, I'm reasonably sure that Toby in Used Cars is spelled T-O-B-Y. But I guess they'll just auto-go to T-O-B-E-Y. Because doesn't Toby Maguire...
Wikipedia has it listed as T-O-B-E-Y.
Oh, they do. Okay. Yeah, try Toby without the E, yeah. Used Cars, and see what happens. I bet it's still Toby Maguire buying it. That's hysterical. That's what you get when you search Toby Used Cars.
Nope. Toby, yes. If you do Toby, T-O-B-Y, dog, Used Cars, you get images from the movies.
Oh, you do, finally. Does it look like a beagle to you?
Yes. Yeah, like a beagle mix.
Yeah. Yeah. So. All right. Now, I'm sure we've all seen Turner and Hooch. I have 12 fun facts about Turner and Hooch. Dan, have you seen Turner and Hooch?
I have, yes.
Yeah. Esmeralda, I assume you've seen Turner and Hooch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a classic. And, you know, it's funny, I always tell the story whenever we mention Turner and Hooch, is that when that movie came out, the weekend that movie came out, Roy Leonard was on vacation. And for those of you who don't know the history, I started out reviewing movies on Roy Leonard's show every Saturday morning. That's how I started here at the station. And it would be every Saturday morning we would review the movies together. So the week that Turner and Hooch came out, Roy was on vacation and Kathy O'Malley was filling in. So Kathy O'Malley's filling in on a Saturday morning, and I go down to the station, and, you know, and Kathy and I get along famously. We've been friends for a very, very long time. And so Kathy and I were reviewing the new movies, and we get to Turner and Hooch, and we're reviewing it. And it's – now, keep in mind, this is the day after the movie opened. This is the morning after the movie. Movie opened on a Friday, and this is the following morning we're reviewing the movie. We're talking about the movie. We're saying, oh, there's a lot of funny stuff in it, and it's great. And then Kathy goes, yeah, I just don't think they should have killed the dog off at the end. Now, the movie had been out, I don't know, 16 hours at that point, and the phones lit up. Dan, you can imagine being the producer at that time.
Oh, my God.
It was Andy Perez, by the way. Andy Perez was the producer of Roy's show that morning, and it's a morning I don't think he'd ever forget. Because people went nuts. And I was like, as soon as it came out of her mouth, I'm like, Kathy, no, you can't say it. And she's like, what? What's the problem? I'm like, you can't tell people that the dog dies. The movie just opened. Now the movie's like 30 years old, so we can talk about it. But not the day after it opens. You can't go, yeah, I didn't want him to kill off the dog. Like, Kathy. And the phones would not stop. They wrote letters. They complained. I'll never forget that. It was completely insane. Completely insane. I will share some facts, some fun facts about Turner and Hooch, and then we're going to talk about best animal performances in movies and TVs, best animal actors, and have some fun with that. Let me throw a couple of texts that we just got. And by the way, you can call or text us anytime with the animal performances. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Let's see. Nick texted in, Mr. Ed, the talking horse. Yes, legendary. Do you know what the real name of that horse is? Well, you know, Dan, because you... Are you ready, Esmeralda? You ready for the real name of Mr. Ed?
Mm-hmm.
Bamboo Harvester.
What's he? Did he use to race? Is that why he's got a weird name?
I would imagine that's why he's named that.
I hate when they give him the weirdo names.
Bamboo Harvester was the star, along with Alan Young, of the television show Mr. Ed. On the program, he was not credited under his own name, but as the title Mr. Ed. Bamboo was picked for the role of Mr. Ed, as he was not temperamental and could work with the string in his mouth for hours without complaint. Bamboo eventually figured out when he was supposed to move his lips when Young stopped talking and the thread was no longer needed. That's pretty cool. So they put a string around his lips so that, you know, you can move his mouth so he can talk. But then the horse got smart and said, hey, take the string away, man. I'll move my lips when the guy's done yapping. No explanation for the name here, Esmeralda.
There never is.
No, but I would guess he was a racehorse, because that sounds like a racehorse name, doesn't it? I like Bamboo Harvester in the Fifth. That's put $20 on Bamboo Harvester. Okay, we got a break. The news is coming up, and then we'll come back and talk more animal stuff. I'll give you some Turner and Hooch facts as well. 312-981-7200.
Near and far, when you smile, the sun it peeks through the clouds, never die, for always
welcome
be
back.
Around.
This one sounds like it could be played at a wedding, Dan, doesn't it?
Does, yeah.
This is called Mary's Song by Band of Horses. 218 area code. Thank you for your request on Triple Play Thursday. You've been Triple Play Thursday here. One artist, three songs. 312-981-7200. Hi, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. 720 WGN. And how are you? We're live in the Allstate Studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower. And, yeah, we're going to start talking about great animal performances and animal actors, and also some fun facts about Turner and Hooch. We'll sprinkle those throughout the conversation. We'd love to hear from you at 312-981-7200. I just want to mention, I just was scrolling around on my Facebook and on my news feed. Dan, some sad news. Now, I don't know if you ever watched Glow, and I don't mean the Netflix Alison Brie show. I mean the show that the actual wrestling show that that's based on from the 80s. Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. You never watched it, right?
I did not, know.
It was a great show. It was awesome. And the chicks on it were great, and it was a fun show. And if you've not seen Glow on Netflix with Alison Brie, it's terrific. Alison Brie, Marc Maron, a wonderful cast. Really, 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 really entertaining show. Anyway, one of my favorite Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling passed away. Mount Fiji passed away. She was sick for a while. She was in assisted living. They made a documentary a few years ago called The Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, and it was a documentary that covered, you know, that went over the ladies from The Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, and it's a really good documentary. She was sick then, and this documentary was like, I don't know, 6-7 years ago. So she'd been ill for a while. It's really sad to hear, though. She was one of my favorites. Mountain Fiji. She was awesome, man. Big, crazy Hawaiian woman. Would bust your face. She was great.
Oh, man.
Glow was a cool show, man. My friends and I watched that we watched it all the time. Glow was awesome. So, anyway, rest in peace, Mountain Fiji. That's sad. She was only 60. So, all right, let's get back to the conversation here about animal actors and favorite animal performances, and we'll talk a little bit about Turner and Hooch as well. 312-981-7200. Andy says, Mo, the chimpanzee from BJ and the Bear, whose name was Mo. I was always confused by that, because the show was called BJ and the Bear, and it wasn't a bear. It was a chimp. Why wasn't the show called BJ and the Chimp? Would be a lot less confusing. Like, oh, BJ and the Bear, it's going to be a guy in a truck with a bear. And you turn it on, and it's a guy in a truck with a chimp. And why would you name a chimp Bear? Why the Bear? I got a good name for our chimpanzee, the Bear. That just needlessly confuses things. And I don't need to be needlessly confused, because that's my state all the time. Tom says, Garfield and Odie rules. Well, they're animated. You can make it do anything they want. Well, I mean, they were cartoons, right? I mean, and in the way, now hold on a second. In the Bill Murray movie, Garfield was still animated, right? Wasn't he?
I believe so.
I think he was like sort of that 3D kind of animation. But I think he was still in. And was Odie had to be. Where are you going to find a dog in real life that looks like Odie? I mean, you can find a fat orange cat. That's not hard to do. You know, fat orange cats are fantastic, and you can find them. But that Odie, that didn't even, it looked like, it, he never looked, he looked like a dog. He looked like an alien. But I think that there was, the cat was animated in those movies. I only saw the first one. And I completely put that out of my mind. And I hope the check cleared, Bill Murray. I really do. What are you doing? So, all right. All right, here are some facts about Turner and Hooch as we talk about animal performances here. 312-981-7200. Producers looked at 50 different breeds to determine which one would make the best Hooch. Determining which breed of dog would make the perfect partner for Tom Hanks was no easy task. Dog trainer and stuntman Clint Rowe said, "We looked at 50 different breeds. Airedales, Shepherds, Rottweilers. They wanted a dog that was big but not overly big. The filmmakers settled on a Dog du Bordeaux. Fewer than 300 of the breed were in the United States when the film came out." Yeah, it's a weird-looking dog, Hooch. Hooch was played by multiple dogs. I don't know if anybody knew that. Beasley, the 17-month-old pup, played the main Hooch. And he only had 5 months to prepare. His stunt double was named Igor. In 2013, Hanks said that all four of the dogs in the film passed away and went to dog heaven. So let me get this straight. You've seen the movie Esmeralda.
Mm-hmm.
That thing was only 17 months old. How big do those dogs get? Because he was huge in the movie. He was huge. How big do those, I mean, the size of a horse. Wow. Tom Hanks spent quality time with all of the dogs before shooting. To get the dogs to react to Hanks while filming, he had to spend time with his canine co-stars in the weeks leading up to filming to build a relationship that would be evident on camera. "We got along well," Hanks said of the dogs. "You know, when you make a movie with a dog, you have to work with the dog for a few weeks prior to shooting it. Otherwise, he won't take his eyes off the trainer. So I would go off and play with, I think, actually three of the dogs that were portrayed in Turner and Hooch, and it was too big a part for one dog." Here's one. I didn't know this. I had no idea about this. I find this a fascinating little fact. Henry Winkler was fired as the director 13 days into the shoot. I did not know that. Henry Winkler was the film's original director, but he didn't even last 2 weeks on the set. "Let's just say I got along better with Hooch than I did with Turner," Winkler told People in 1993. Shortly thereafter, Roger Spottiswood was hired to take Winkler's place. "I did nothing, in fact, except to take the lens off the cap each day and enjoyed watching Tom, who was brilliant, and the dog, who was also brilliant," Spottiswood said. So, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Henry Winkler didn't get along with Tom Hanks? Who doesn't get along with Tom Hanks? And why would the Fonz not enjoy working with Tom Hanks? I'd like to get that story. They need to ask a few more questions about this. You know, you do a follow-up question, find out why Henry Winkler didn't get along with Tom Hanks. You know, Esmeralda, you know that Henry Winkler is responsible as a director for one of the worst movies, one of the most embarrassing and stupidest movies ever made.
What's that?
Here's just Google image, Cop and a Half.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Wacky Burt Reynolds movie. Widely considered one of the worst, but Henry Winkler directed it. Widely considered one of the worst movies ever made.
So Turner and Hooch dodged a bullet.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. Roger Spottiswood, good director. I mean, he came in and, you know, just was a hired gun on this one, but Spottiswood's a good director. 847 area code brings this one. Oh, this is a good one. Esmeralda, did you watch Frasier?
I did, yeah.
Eddie from Frasier. "Was there more than one Eddie? I think he was some kind of terrier. Eddie was played by Moose the dog. He was the only dog to portray the role. He was a Parson Russell Terrier." Smart dog. Eddie was a cool dog. 847 area code. Oh, a little more information. Esmeralda, we're now getting information about Toby. So when, evidently, somebody out there other besides you and me have seen used cars. Toby from Used Cars was actually a purebred beagle. Purebred beagles have white-tipped tails. It made it easier to find them while hunting. Wow. So it was a purebred beagle. I had a beagle once. My first ex-wife was her dog. And we moved in together. It became my dog. And you ever have a beagle, Esmeralda?
I never did, no.
Dan, you?
One, our first dog might have been part beagle.
Yeah. They lead with their nose because they're hunting dogs. And I, let me explain something to you. If you think that you are going to go on a nice short walk with a beagle, you're not. You're not. The average length of a walk with at least Sonny, my beagle from years ago, at least you're out there for at least 20 minutes. At least. Because they just sniff and sniff and sniff and sniff and sniff, and it's just like, pee already! But yeah, and you know, this would be, Esmeralda, I had that dog when I was bartending. So I'd get home at like 4 o'clock, 3:30 in the morning, and I'd have to walk the dog. And I'd be tired, you know, from working all night. And then that's another half an hour of just walking around outside. And it was always a pleasure in this kind of weather. Oh, it was fantastic to walk the dog in this kind of weather. He would take his sweet ass time, let me tell you right now. Like, dude, just poo, please. I want to get back in. Don't you want to get back in the house? Warm in the house. They didn't care. Sniffing everything. Everything. So, but they're also, as far as I knew, you know, we did a little research on it, but beagles are prone to have bad backs because of the way their bodies are shaped. And Sonny had to have an operation. Because it couldn't jump up on the bed anymore. That's why people get the, you know, Esmeralda, you get those stairs that go up to the bed for your dog. We should have got those. I think maybe Sonny would have lived longer had we gotten those. But my first ex-wife spent a couple thousand dollars to have a back surgery for the dog and then had to rehabilitate the dog to basically make it learn how to walk again. It was a long, arduous process. But the vet said that it's fairly common in beagles because of the way their bodies are structured to have bad backs or have issues with their backs. So, Sonny was an adorable dog. It just took a really long time for him to go to the can. I'd be like, come on, man. Please. So, anyway. So, Toby's a purebred beagle, Esmeralda.
All right.
There we go. Now we know. And I would like to thank our listeners for all that information. All right, 312-981-7200. I got more facts about Turner and Hooch, and we've got a bunch of texts coming in, people saying their favorite animal actor and animal performances. 312-981-7200. We have the break here. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. Three songs, one artist, and it's 312-981-7200. 218 area code, requested Band of Horses, and that's The Funeral. All right, we're continuing here on a Thursday morning. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trip Tower, here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich at 5 with the opening bell, the great Steve Cochran at 6. And I'll be joining Steve Cochran for my weekly Thursday morning segment. And we'll be talking about previewing the new movies that are opening this weekend, including Steven Spielberg's The Post, which opens this weekend, and Christian Bale in the new Western Hostels. And you heard the commercial for the scary movie, the fourth Insidious movie, Insidious: The Last Key. Those are the movies that are opening. I'll give you a preview of those and just have some fun on Cochran's show. That'll be coming up 6:20 this morning. So stay tuned for that. How are you, everybody? Nick DiGilio here, and we are talking about great animal performances and giving you some facts about Turner and Hooch, the most stunning of which to me is that Henry Winkler was fired because he didn't get along with Tom Hanks. So, but we also are taking your texts and phone calls at 312-981-7200 with your favorite animal actors and favorite animal performances. Here's Patrick on WGN. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Nick, how you doing? Happy 2018, my friend.
Happy New Year, buddy.
Happy New Year. I got my Godzilla fix, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, I spent a bunch of days with nothing but El Rey on, man. Oh, and by the way, Patrick, just so you know, this is it's Godzilla month in January on Svengoolie.
Oh, yes.
So every Saturday night, at 7 o'clock for the next four Saturday nights, nothing but Godzilla movies.
Well, the DVR is set, yep. And so is my butt. I will be in front of
it. There you go.
I can't wait for 2019. Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
I know.
And they've given the rundown.
Yep.
It's going to have all four of them. Godzilla, King Ghidorah, Mothra, and Rodan.
Oh, man.
I don't
man.
Know what the monsters are going to look like in the Legendary Monsterverse.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's gonna be awesome.
I hope they find genuine twins, you know, and not like
Oh yeah.
Gotta find two twins to shrink down to size. And
would they actually sing? That's the question.
Yeah, that's a good question.
They have to sing. They yep. gotta sing to Mothra. You know.
Yes, they do.
I actually put in 2014 the other day, and I have to always watch the scene at the airport where Godzilla makes his first big appearance. That build-up was so amazing.
Yeah.
You know, just off the chain.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Speaking of animals, they do have Clyde on this list. Come on. You just can't.
Yeah, Clyde. No, Clyde from Every Which Way But Loose and Every Which Way But Loose and Any Which Way You Can.
Absolutely.
The best. And you know, Esmeralda, have you ever seen those movies, the orangutan movies that Clint Eastwood made?
No, I haven't.
With Clyde, they're really funny, man. And the Clyde rules.
They really are.
Clyde rules. He's the best. And I guess orangutans are very.
Ruth Gordon steals the show too.
Yeah, Ruth Gordon with a shotgun. No, you got to love that.
That's right.
But I guess orangutans are pretty easy to train, or they're very willing to be trained.
Really? Well, I read that Clyde was a little cantankerous.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. I forgot where I read that. That's a different one. Because, I read that he wasn't very easy to get along with.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe he wasn't. But I thought orangutans were supposedly easy to train. But maybe Clyde was a little bit grumpy.
Or maybe I'm thinking about chimps.
Yeah.
Chimps are supposed to be, like, they can get pretty vicious.
Yeah. Yes, they can. Yes, they can.
So. But I was also thinking, too, a couple of Rottweiler performances.
All right.
Lethal Weapon 3, that interaction between Mel Gibson and the Rottweiler. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't remember it. I've only seen Lethal Weapon 3 once.
It's a cute scene. It's just a really funny scene because just the dog's expression as Mel Gibson's trying to get down to his love, and the dog's like, what the heck?
Yeah.
But he moves his head. It was pretty cool. And, of course, I got to put the Stoner reference in there. Killer from Half-Baked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I totally forgot about that, but that totally fits in. No question about it. So, all right, Patrick, thanks, buddy.
Thank you. Take care.
All right, man, take care.
Patrick reminds me, didn't we do like an hour once on all the Rottweiler movies from the 70s?
No, Doberman.
Dobermans.
Yeah, because there were a series of movies in the 70s where they trained Dobermans to rob banks, and it wasn't just one movie. There was the Doberman Gang, which I think was the first one, and that was a huge hit. And then what they did was they trained Dobermans to rob banks. The Dobermans went in and robbed banks.
And then Josh Brolin got locked in a store with a bunch of them.
He got knocked out. It was called Trapped. It was a TV movie on ABC called Trapped. And Josh Brolin got mugged in a department store bathroom. He got knocked out and his wallet was stolen. And he was knocked out. And then they closed the store. Everybody left. They closed the store and released the guard dogs. So Josh Brolin wakes up. He's trapped in a department store with a bunch of Dobermans. And it was like the highest rated ABC movie of the week ever. That was the movie we were all talking about in the schoolyard the next day. Did you see? It's James Brolin, not Josh. James Brolin. Did you see James Brolin in Trapped last night? That was almost as much talked about as Bad Ronald. You guys ever see Bad Ronald? Bad Ronald. Classic 70s movie of the week. ABC movie of the week. I want to say Billy Jacoby played him. I think it was Billy Jacoby, because there were like two or three Jacobys, and I think it was Billy Jacoby who played Bad Ronald. And the plot was, get this, Plasmerald, have you ever heard of Bad Ronald?
I remember that Justin Kaufman was talking about it once.
Oh, Kaufman was talking about it?
Yeah, they were talking about, like, bad movies that you love.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a huge, like, TV movie of the week, made-for-TV movie. And the plot was this kid, Bad Ronald, I guess he killed somebody, if I remember correctly, or was you know, suspected of murder, and his mom hit him in the wall. Like, put him, like, made a little a crawl space for him and stuck him in the wall so that the authorities couldn't find him, and, you know, and she would feed him and stuff. And then his grandmother died, and a new family moved in, and he was still in the wall. And a teenage girl, of course, you know, was in his room, took over his room, and then they began, like, becoming friends, and he was Bad Ronald in the wall. Dan, was it Billy Jacoby? Can you look that up?
Scott.
Oh, Scott Jacoby. I would see you. I knew it was a Jacoby. Scott Jacoby. So, yeah, that's Bad Ronald. But then the other one, the Amazing Dobermans, because there was a Doberman gag, the Amazing Dobermans, and I think there was another Doberman movie where they robbed another bank. I mean, this was the kind of entertainment. Esmeralda, this was the entertainment that we got in the 70s.
Right, so quality.
People blowing silent dog whistles that would make the dogs move and get, you know... the Doberman Gang. If you ever want to look that up, I don't even know if that's available anywhere. But I highly recommend the Doberman Gang, or perhaps the Amazing Dobermans. I don't know what it was, man, but in the mid 70s, everybody wanted movies with Dobermans in it, preferably robbing banks.
It was the Gang, Doberman Gang.
Doberman Gang, and then the second one was the Amazing Dobermans, because there were two of them at least. I think there was a third one too. But the Doberman Gang was the first one. That's the one that took the country by storm when it was released. Everybody made, hey, did you see the Doberman Gang? The best movie ever made, man. It's the best movie ever made about dogs robbing banks. Really is. All right. Got a break. The news is coming up next. More dog and animal topics coming up. Yeah, I love my baby, my heart and soul. This is what you call a jam. The late, great Stevie Ray Vaughan. Triple play Thursday. That means we get to hear two more Stevie Ray songs. Yeah! Yeah! 312-981-7200. Thank you, Dominic in Franklin Park. That's Pride and Joy, Stevie Ray Vaughan on Triple Play Thursday. How are you, everybody? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5 a.m., as we are every weekday morning. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. And we are talking about great animal performances, great animal actors, memorable animals in movies and TV, and all the fantastic Doberman movies of the 70s. yeah. And I also have some facts here about Turner and Hooch. A couple more texts, and you can send your text or call us with your suggestions here at 312-981-7200. Mark the Breadman said, I think the best animal performance for my money is my favorite movie of all time, and that would be Dog from Road Warrior. Yeah, the dog in Road Warrior rules. Of course, everything about the Mad Max series is awesome. So, but the dog in Road Warrior, fantastic. 815 area code says Fred from Beretta. I wonder if there was only one Fred. Fred, by the way, for those of you who are not familiar, Esmeralda, are you familiar with the Robert Blake cop show Beretta?
Yeah.
So he's got a cockatoo.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's on his shoulder. That's Fred. And I'm wondering if they had more than one Fred.
I would think so.
Yeah, you would think so, right? You could swap out one cockatoo for another and not know it's the same bird.
Yeah, they get tired.
Yeah. 219 area code says, how about Charlotte the Elephant from Smokey and the Bandit 2? Come on now. What are you bringing up Smokey and the Bandit 2 for? You ever see Smokey and the Bandit 2, Esmeralda?
No, I haven't.
Have you seen the first one?
No.
Oh, boy. Dan? Smokey and the Bandit 2?
I've not seen either.
What? I think we've discussed this before. Smokey and the Bandit is a damn classic. Vic, you've seen Smokey and the Bandit, right?
Absolutely.
Of course you have. You know why? Because you're a good American.
Yes, and one of my favorite lines from it's from one of those movies where they're being chased through that roller coaster, the wooden roller coaster, and he says, I don't know where we're at, but we're making good time. Isn't that from that movie?
That's in the first one, yeah.
I love that.
Well, you know what's really funny is everything that comes out of Jackie Gleason's mouth in the first movie is spectacular, but you can't say any of it on the radio.
He's genius in that movie.
He's so great in that movie. He's so funny in that movie. He's the only good thing about the second one. The second one was terrible, where they have to have an elephant. They move an elephant cross country, and then Dom DeLuise plays a doctor who has to stay in the trailer with the elephant to treat it because she's pregnant. And then the elephant has a crush on Burt Reynolds. It's so bad. It's so, so bad. There's a lot of, like, wacky music in it, too. Like, when the elephant comes out, wah, 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 wah. It's like, come on.
I remember that. Now was Dom DeLuise pretty good in that, though?
Well, he was doing a wacky Italian accent. And he was just like, you know, always the, you know, it was always, you know, like, that was right around the same time that Cannonball Run came out. And he was... What was his name in Cannonball Run? The superhero's name in Cannonball Run? He had a superhero persona in Cannonball Run. Cannonball Run, another really stupid movie. If you go back and watch Cannonball Run is a movie that gleefully and gloriously and unapologetically praises and what's the word I'm looking for? Glorifies drunk driving. That's the whole movie is about, drinking and driving. Captain Chaos, I believe was his name. Dom DeLuise.
Yes, Captain Chaos.
Captain Chaos. Thank you. The best parts of those movies, though, were the outtakes at the end. Where they would do, because if I remember correctly, Smokey and the Bandit was one of the first movies to ever put outtakes at the end. Smokey and the Bandit 2 and the Cannonball Run movies. Those were the first movies I remember where they would show bloopers at the end. And typically they were the best part of the movie. Dan, you remember one of my favorite jokes in Anchorman, as probably you've seen Anchorman, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite jokes in Anchorman was at the very, very end when they're showing the outtakes and during Anchorman. And they're showing the outtakes during Anchorman, and it's, oh, there's Will Ferrell screwing up. Okay, here's, you know, Paul Rudd can't get his line out, and Christina Applegate is cracking up. And then they snuck in a clip from Smokey and the Bandit 2, a blooper from Smokey and the Bandit 2, with no explanation or nothing. Suddenly there's Burt Reynolds blowing his line, and then it was just in the middle. And it was just for people around our age, you know, because, you know, Will Ferrell's in his late 40s. You know, all these guys are, you know that the Smokey and the Bandit movies started the whole blooper thing. So Adam McKay throws in a blooper from Smokey and the Bandit 2. It's one of my favorite moments in Anchorman. Oh, man. All right. A few more little facts about Turner and Hooch. You guys this morning, you're going to know more about Turner and Hooch than you've ever imagined that you would ever know about a dog movie with a cop. Hey, you guys remember K-9, by the way, with Jim Belushi? Do you remember K-9? Dan, you don't remember it?
I think I saw it, but I don't remember it.
Because, Ralph, you ever see K-9?
I think that's usually, or it was usually on in the afternoons on Channel 9 on a Saturday.
Yet another cop dog movie. By the way, the dog was better than Jim Belushi in that movie. That's all I'm saying. It's usually the case. Tom Hanks had to use a clicker during the shooting. Usually dogs in movies look at the trainer who is standing next to the camera. In this case, we trained and taught the Hooches to look at the person who had the little clicker that made the noise, the director explained, Spottiswood. So before every take, he would give Tom Hanks the little clicker, and Tom would click, and that the dog would look at him. And then until he handed the clicker back, the only person the dog was interested in was Tom. Well, a little clicker. Beasley is the dog's name, who played Hooch, couldn't be trained to drink the beer. When Roe was asked what the hardest task was for Beasley to learn, was that teaching the dog to grab Tom Hanks by the throat was difficult, which he didn't expect, but also drinking beer. He can crack the can, but he wouldn't drink the beer, so we used chicken soup. What? Chicken soup? When was the last time? Maybe he means broth. Because I'm thinking to myself, who wants to drink a beer with noodles and meat in it? How is that going to pass for beer in a movie? Chicken soup. So the next time you watch Turner and Hooch, which I believe is probably often everybody in the world watches Turner and Hooch at least 3-4 times a day, that's chicken soup and not beer. How about this one? Mike from Novak Construction. Morning, Mike. Gotta love Arnold Ziffel from Green Acres. Arnold the Pig. Yep. 219 area code to the Bears from Gentle Ben and Grizzly Adams. Mm-hmm. Steve says, how many people do you think cried at the end of Old Yeller? Is he quoting Stripes? Is that what he's doing? All right, who cried at the end of Old Yeller? Who cried at the end of Old Yeller? Come on, put your hands up. Oh, you didn't? Like, you didn't cry at the end of Old Yeller. Let's see. Somebody actually said, I didn't even see this text. 773 area code, favorite animal actors was Jerry Lee from K-9 with Jim Belushi. I didn't even see this text. All right. Johnny says, the Free Willy whale. Didn't something happen to that whale? Wasn't there a controversy about the whale that they used in Free Willy? That, like, it was mistreated or something? Does anybody remember that, or am I the only one? If I remember correctly, there was some sort of extracurricular story or some sort of controversy about that whale.
Didn't it die?
I think it did die, and it under bad circumstances, is my thought. You know what I mean? I think something terrible, like something bad happened to the whale, and it died. The Free Willy whale. So, okay, we've got a break here. We'll do a break here, and we've got the weather and the traffic, and then more here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Yeah. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN and Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. 312-981-7200, Dominic Franklin Park, Stevie Ray Vaughan. Song number 2 out of 3, and that's Tightrope. Welcome back, everybody. We are talking about animal performances and some facts about Turner and Hooch that you might not have known. And we've got a bunch of texts coming in if you want to call us or text us. It's 312-981-7200. Tom says the Taco Bell dog rules. Yes, the Taco Bell dog does rule. Yo quiero Taco Bell. I love the Taco Bell dog. Love him. Especially the Esmeralda, you remember the ad campaign that they did tied in with the terrible Godzilla movie from 1998?
Yeah.
And he'd be like, hey, lizard, lizard, lizard. He's trying to get Godzilla. Here, lizard, lizard, lizard. Yeah, the Taco Bell dog. 810 area code says, Buck from Married with Children, he wasn't exactly fond of the family when his internal thoughts were shared with the audience. That's true. That's true. 708 area code. My favorite one is Reggie the Retriever, companion of Tom Selleck in some made-for-TV Jess Stone movies. I don't remember that. 270 area says Milo from The Mask. I eventually went out and got a Jack Russell after that. It was the best dog I ever had. All right. Here are some of the ones that we have, Esmeralda, from movies. On this list, they say number one is Toto from The Wizard of Oz. Do you know what Toto's real name was?
No.
Terry.
Oh. All right.
How about Lassie from Lassie?
That's, no idea.
That's his name was Lassie. I think there was another Lassie that had a different name, if I'm not mistaken. About Shadow from Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey. I was wondering when Homeward Bound was going to pop up on here. Shadow in Homeward Bound, real name, Esmeralda? Ben. Chance from Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey, played by Rattler. Old Yeller from Old Yeller, number 5 on the list, as one of the greatest animal performances. It's played by Spike the Dog. Beethoven from the Beethoven movies, played by Beethoven. Oh, Okay. Benji, number 7 on the list. Benji from the Benji movies. You know what Benji's real name was?
What's that?
Higgins.
I'm amazed that these animals can essentially learn another name.
Yeah. They have to react. They have to react to a different name. You know? Like, wait a minute. My name's Higgins. Why are you calling me Benji, man? What's the deal? I guess as long as you got that clicker, everything's all right. So, here's Scott on WGN. Hey, Scott.
Yeah, Skip, my dog.
Oh, my dog Skip, yes.
Yeah, he was also Moose on Frasier.
He was...
Same dog.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, that was the same dog.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow, what a talented dog.
Yeah, and he's got like 8... he produced 8 babies.
Oh, my dog Skip, old Moose from Frasier, who played Eddie.
Yeah, yeah. He was the father of like 8 or 9 pups, and they kind of used him afterwards. And I met Moose at the dog show at McCormick's.
Oh, I see. Wow.
He knew they said like 100 hand signals.
Wow. So he was a smart dog.
Yeah, he stuck his tongue out, raised his leg, you know, that stuff.
Right. Wow.
So, yeah, that was the same dog.
Same dog. Okay, cool. Thank you, Scott.
Bye.
All right. So Skip had 9 kids. I wonder if they followed in his footsteps to show business.
They're all showbiz dogs.
Hey, you're a pup. You're the son of Moose. Come on in here. No audition necessary. All right. You know how I mentioned before a couple of times that Kathy O'Malley gave away the fact that Hooch gets killed at the end of Turner and Hooch. A mere day after the movie was released and caused an uproar with WGN listeners, as I mentioned earlier. Like, I couldn't believe, and you know, as soon as it came out of her mouth, Esmeralda, I was sitting right across from her, and as soon as she said it, I went, Kathy, no! And she was like, what? You can't. Yeah, the dog dies at the end. Like, what?
Did she figure it out?
What do you mean?
That, you know, it wasn't right to say that?
Well, when you know, we got 5,000 complaint calls, I mean, she figured, because I was like, no, as soon as she said, I was like, you can't. She's like, what? I'm like, you can't tell people that the dog dies at the end. What? It's like saying, oh, you haven't seen Citizen Kane? It's a sled, just so you know. So just in case you're wondering. Oh, you haven't seen The Crying Game yet? It's a guy. He's really a guy. I just want to let you know about that. Oh, hey, guess what? Bruce Willis is dead, actually. He's been dead the whole movie. I don't know if you want to know that or not going in. anyway, so the dog dies at the end. And it was Hanks took responsibility for killing Hooch and said it was a mistake. Hanks said during a BBC Radio 5 interview, I was the main proponent of killing Hooch. It was a Disney movie and we were putting it up together. And I stood up on a table and pounded my fist in a grand Disney tradition of Old Yeller and movies like Old Yeller. And I said, Hooch must die. So they killed Hooch. We killed Hooch and we never should have. We should have, I guess, kept the doggy alive so we didn't make so many children cry. So Tom Hanks, this is the reason. If you're upset that Hooch died, you blame Tom Hanks. Maybe that's what he and Henry Winkler got into a fight about, and Henry Winkler got fired. Henry Winkler probably didn't want to kill the dog. All right. Hey, you know, we were talking about Anchorman. How about Baxter from Anchorman?
Oh, yeah.
Baxter, when Jack Black boots the dog. That's how I roll. Oh, yeah? Well, now this is happening. Baxter, you know the best moment? Because Baxter is fantastic. All the scenes with Burgundy, Ron Burgundy and Baxter are great. But my favorite is where they're wearing the matching pajamas and he's got headgear. Like the dog's wearing braces, he's wearing headgear. Baxter, by the way, was played by Peanut. Peanut, what type of dog is Baxter, Dan? Do you know? He's a little teeny thing.
I do not. I'll look it up here.
He does speak Spanish, because at one point when we're running... Now, you know I don't speak Spanish, Baxter.
Border Terrier.
Oh, sure. He's a Border Terrier. Hey, how about Buddy from the Air Bud films? How many of those did they make?
A lot.
Seriously?
At least three or four?
Wow. It was that successful that they ended up making four movies about a dog who plays... Did he play basketball in all the movies, or did they...
No, I think at one point he starts playing football.
Oh. Oh, man. It's animals playing sports. That's always great. You guys remember from the 70s, one that I grew up watching from the 70s, a Disney movie called Gus. He was about a field goal kicking mule. They would bring a donkey out on the field, and he would kick a field goal, and his name was Gus.
Bears could have used in the season. there were four Air Bud sequels.
Wow!
Air Bud.
Yeah.
Air Buddies. That was Air Bud 2.
Now, was it basketball again?
Yep. Okay. Air Bud 3, and then Esmeralda's favorite, Air Bud Golden Receiver.
Oh, that's great. All right, we got a break here. More texts coming in. Yeah. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and the news is up next. Yeah. Stevie Ray Vaughan. He was so good. Triple Play Thursday. 312-981-7200. Dominic in Franklin Park. Show Stevie Ray Vaughan. That's Crossfire. How's everybody doing this morning? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich with the opening bell, and at 6, the great Steve Cochran with your morning drive. And we've been talking about, having a lot of fun here, talking about animal performances in movies and TV and stuff like that. And we've got a bunch of texts coming in. And here are some more texts. Oh, by the way, we have a Blackhawks Express coming up. And Blackhawks Express is we're going to play it back. And it's a good one. It's a good Blackhawks Express. Let me just say that. So that's coming up in a little bit. Always the day after a game, the morning after a game, we play the Blackhawks Express. And that'll be coming up in just a few minutes. All right, as far as animal performances, animals in movies and TV, 630 area code says John Wick's second dog. Yeah, that's the lesson learned about John Wick, man. Don't mess with Keanu's dog. Don't be messing with Keanu's dog. He'll kill 75 people. 312 area code. I have the recipe for the Diablo sandwich that Buford T. Justice orders. I have yet to make it. I remember we looked that up on the internet a bunch of years ago because, you know, one of my other producers had never seen Smokey and the Bandit, and I forced him to watch it. And then we did a whole rundown on what he thought of it. And then we looked up the recipe for a Diablo sandwich. And it sounds good, if I remember. Dan, can you look it up? Recipe Diablo sandwich? That's what he orders. That's what he orders. I'm in a hurry. Thank you, Nash Lady. Oh, man. 952 area code says they love Flipper. Flipper was played by Mitzi the Dolphin. Flipper's real name was Mitzi. 312 area code says that they love the fake cat from Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Did you ever watch that show, Esmeralda? Was that in your wheelhouse?
I did, yeah.
Do you remember the fake cat?
Yeah.
It was a black cat.
Salem,
right?
Yeah.
Salem?
Mm-hmm.
He was a puppet, right?
Yes.
Like somebody was operating the little...
He looked real, so I think they just kind of made his mouth... made his mouth move.
Okay. Why did they use a fake cat, not a real cat, for comedy purposes?
Because he talked.
Oh, all right.
He was really like someone had turned him into that cat.
Oh, so it was? Did Sabrina do it?
No.
Oh, okay.
There was like a whole backstory to it at some point.
Okay. Dino says, "What about Rin Tin Tin? Rin Tin Tin played by Rin Tin Tin." And, of course, oh, this is a good one. 773 area code says, what about Chico the Goat from Sanford and Son? Chico's awesome. Get that killer away from me. Every time the goat would come into Fred's house, he'd do the heart attack thing. Oh, get that killer away from me. Oh, man. All right. What else we got here? So we've got the Joey from War Horse was played by 14 different horses. Esmeralda, have you ever heard Maria Bamford's description of the movie War Horse?
No.
I would suggest you look it up because it's really, really pretty great. All right, here you go. Esmeralda, if you ever want to make a Diablo sandwich, because that's what Jackie Gleason is, Buford T. Justice, when they're on the road and they jump into the diner on the road, he comes in and he gets a give me a Dr. Pepper. Give me a Dr. Pepper and a Diablo sandwich, and I'm in a hurry. This is a Diablo sandwich. See if this ever had a Diablo sandwich. Do you know what a Diablo sandwich is?
I do not.
Okay, here we go. Diablo sandwich is 1 pound lean ground beef browned,
mm-hmm.
1 ounce of 1 ounce packet of taco seasoning mix. Follow directions as to adding the water.
Mm-hmm.
A cup of whole kernel corn, frozen or canned. A cup of diced tomato. Lettuce, sour cream. And four burger type buns toasted, so it makes four Diablo sandwiches.
Oh, okay.
So it's essentially, it's ground beef, taco mix, some corn, tomato, lettuce, sour cream.
So where's the Diablo part?
I don't know, because it sounds like, it just basically, it's like taco stuff on a bun.
Yeah.
It's like a taco on a bun.
Some of them sad tacos.
Diablo sandwich. It says, combine all ingredients except lettuce and sour cream in the pan for 15 minutes to an hour. The longer, the better. You want all that flavor to marry from that packet of taco seasoning.
Yeah, but then you overcook the ground beef.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Lay out lettuce on top of the toasted buns, scoop out even amounts of meat mixture onto the buns, and follow with a dollop of sour cream. That's your Diablo sandwich. Best served with fries and, of course, a Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, you keep that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've had Diablo sandwich. And people who have seen Smokey and the Bandit too many times. You know, I screened Smokey and the Bandit a few years ago at my my film club. We didn't serve Diablo sandwiches. We did, however, bring in kegs of Coors, because that's the beer that they're transporting across the they're bootlegging across the country. And so they didn't have at Bogart's, they didn't have Coors. So we got a few kegs of Coors. Just so we could be drinking the Coors. This is when I was still drinking.
Right.
We'd be drinking Coors during the movie. Just like all the movie stars.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the kegs got foamy and stuff. And so we had, because, you know, they moved the kegs around and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, all the drafts were coming in really, really foamy. So during the course of the movie, they were working on the kegs. So right towards the end of the movie, all of the staff from Bogart's came in with trays of plastic cups of beer. And we were like, well, we got to kill this keg. We have to kill this keg.
Yeah.
So my post-show talk, which is usually, you know, 25 minutes, half an hour, was like an hour.
Oh, wow.
Because I was just down there talking, and they kept bringing in Coors. And I'm like, well, we can't waste this beer. But it would have been fun to have a Diablo sandwich on the menu. Patrick says, what about Spot the Wonder Dog from Siskel and Ebert? That's right. When they would do the years early into the Siskel and Ebert show, when they did the worst movies, they would pick a worst movie each week, and it was called The Dog of the Week.
Mm.
They would show Spot. It was a real dog.
Oh.
Spot.
Poor dog.
The Dog of the Week. 81360 area code says, did you mention Marley and Me? Wow. Have you seen Marley and Me?
No. I don't. I'm fine not seeing
it. I saw it. You know, I saw it when it came out.
Uh-huh.
It's a good movie. It's, you know.
Oh, God. A dog being a dog.
No, but the dog dies at the end.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I saw it
did
also.
Did it live a life?
Did it? Yeah, it did. But
okay.
It dies at the end, but it's very sad.
It's kind of like Titanic. We all know how this is going to end.
But it's very sad. I mean, in the last like half hour of the movie, the dog's dying. You know,
it's a pet dying.
Yeah,
why
I know.
That be sad?
It's very sad. And I remember it was one of the movies that played on our flight to Ireland. And so clearly, a lot of the people who were watching the movie had not seen it, because it was a plane full of people bawling their eyes out.
Jeez.
As we're landing in Dublin, people are just, because they didn't know the dog was going to croak. Wow. That's my, if you weren't listening yesterday, that's my perfect Owen Wilson. 773 area code, Asta from the Thin Man series. What a terrier, yeah. great dog. Peter in Decatur said, there was a monkey in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Oh, yeah. You remember the monkey? They actually had the monkey Heil Hitler. He did the Heil Hitler.
All right.
Well, he was a monkey. He was a monkey owned by a Nazi.
Right, Nazi monkey.
He was a Nazi monkey. And then there's Marcel the monkey from Friends. Oh, I met that monkey. I hired him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I hired Marcel.
Where'd you discover him?
He was in a zoo.
Oh really?
And I saw him doing a trick, and I said, I need that. I need to team him up with Schwimmer now.
Oh, yeah.
It was Schwimmer, right?
Was that the inspiration for the later episode in which Marcel ran away to the zoo and they...
Yes. Yes. I got a story credit on that. If you go back and look at that.
Yeah. Was that based on a true story?
Based on a true story,
he ran
yes.
away because...
That's right.
He didn't
Because when we first
he didn't
brought
want to
him,
be on Friends anymore?
When we first took him out of the zoo to put him on Friends, he didn't like Schwimmer. He's like, I got to get away from Schwimmer. And he ran back to the zoo.
I would imagine.
He'd rather be in a zoo than hang out with David Schwimmer. That's...
I feel like that's a lot of people.
Yeah, I'd rather hang out at a zoo than with David Schwimmer.
Did their relationship sour when Schwimmer took him to Rocket and they had to sit at separate tables?
Yeah. Is this an episode?
They avoid each other at Rocket. That's
is that an
happens.
Episode? Is that a real episode?
No, just Schwimmer always was at Rocket.
Oh.
So.
Oh, yeah, he was. Oh, that's right. Oh, God, he always was, wasn't he? Do they allow monkeys in Rocket?
I mean, they allow Marcel.
Yeah. He's not your average monkey.
He's allowed everywhere.
Yeah.
He's VIP.
Scott from Streamward said the dog on Black Sheep.
Primate, by the way. Very important primate.
Primate. See? VIP. See?
All right.
Very important primate.
First week back from vacation.
That's absolutely right. This is why we got that award for best broadcast team, Dan. This is, you know.
Mark the tape. 2018 submission done.
All right, real quick, here's Bill on WGN. Hey, Bill.
Frigid morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Cujo the Killer St. Bernard.
Cujo rules. I love that movie.
He tore apart a Ford Pinto.
A Ford Pinto. Terrorized a woman and her child in a Ford Pinto for an hour and a half, and I loved every minute of it.
Right, and... What does that tell you about a Ford Pinto? How good a quality they were.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Bill, thanks.
Yep.
That's a scary movie, so I'm assuming you've never seen it.
I've seen parts.
Movie. You remember how Cujo goes nuts and gets all rabid and stuff?
No.
He gets bit on the nose by a bat.
Is that what causes it?
Yeah, he sticks his head into a hole. He's sticking his head into a hole.
Oh, and he's like really
a
nice
bat.
Before.
Yeah, he's a nice, lovable St. Bernard. And then he gets bit on the nose by a bat. And then slowly, slime starts coming
by
all
way,
over.
I love that that's something that can be taken care of and no one thinks to take care of it. They're just like, no, crazy dog. He's evil.
Well, no, he was all by himself. Nobody was around. Like, he got bit.
No, but I mean, just like in the general, did they try to stop him? Was he that
unstoppable? No. He did was attack this girl and her son. It wasn't like he went around town and killed everybody.
Well, then wait,
it was just
what's
one place.
The movie
it was in. It's about these two people who are trapped in this, trying to get help, and they're trapped inside this hot car. The kid's a diabetic.
Wait, it's literally just them in a car?
Yeah, it is them trapped in a... It's a great movie, and Dee Wallace is she's got to carry the whole movie.
Where is the car?
The car is parked in front of a farmhouse where the guy has died inside the farmhouse.
Oh, okay.
And so,
I was going to say, nobody noticed.
And she can't get out because the dog is, like, stalking the car.
Right.
And every time she tries to open the door, the dog comes out, almost flips the car over. It's a big St. Bernard. This movie, Esmeralda, you got to see this movie. Cujo's the best, man. Dan, you've seen Cujo, right?
No, I've never seen it.
Oh, man.
Did he not fall asleep?
There's times when they try to get out of the car and he races, you know, like he's either asleep or he's in another, like he goes inside the barn and there's a phone inside the house and they can hear the phone ringing and she wants to get out, but she can't leave her kid alone because he's sick. He's asthmatic. He's not diabetic. That's a panic room.
Right.
The girl in panic room, Kristen Stewart's diabetic. In this one, the kid's asthmatic and he might die. He can't breathe. And so they need help. I'm telling you, this movie kicks ass. It's so good. It's so good. Anyway.
What am I thinking of then? Was there another dog movie where...
There's been a lot of movies about killer dogs. There have.
I might have seen something other than that.
Yeah.
It was a Rottweiler, I think.
That might be Man's Best Friend.
Yeah, and he's like terrorizing people.
That's Man's Best Friend. Oh. Cujo is just an isolated incident.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, then I haven't seen that at all.
Cujo rules! So, anyway. You know what? There's going to be a spike at Redbox for Cujo just because of this segment.
Yeah, I don't think Redbox is Cujo.
They should have Cujo. They should have 50,000 copies of Cujo.
I think they have a limited amount of
copies. It's an important piece of cinema. All right, we got a break here. We got a few more texts here about animals and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Did anyone mention the dog Wishbone? He was my favorite. I don't know Wishbone.
There's a children's show.
Called Wishbone?
Right.
Oh, okay.
I think he talked. I forget.
I know that there is a great rock band called Wishbone Ash.
No.
That's not it? It's not Wishbone Ash?
No, different okay. things. PBS children's show.
Harold says Spot from the Monsters. Yeah, it's the dragon that lives under the stairs. The fire-breathing dragon that lives under the stairs. The Monsters. let's see. 847 area code said Dreyfus from Empty Nest was a pretty dog. Hmm. I don't really remember. Never watched the
Golden Retriever, I think.
Probably. 708 area code. What about Morris the Cat? Morris the Cat's a jerk. 815 area code said there was a great Art Carney movie called Harry and Tonto. Art Carney traveling with his pet cat. It's a great movie. And Art Carney, by the way, won Best Actor, an Oscar for that movie.
Hmm.
And nobody expected him to win, and he did. 513 area code said, I was an usher when Turner and Hooch was released. It drew a big crowd, so I was in charge of corralling the people while the previous showing finished. At the end, one of the ushers walked out and said, I can't believe they killed Hooch.
What is wrong with people?
Needless to say, we had to refund a lot of tickets.
You walk out silent. You say nothing. Yeesh.
You know what movie my dad hates so much? And I made him take me to it. I'd seen it, you know. It's called All That Jazz with Roy Scheider.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Bob Fosse autobiographical musical fantasy. My dad despises this movie. He hates it so much. I remember when it came out, my dad was a smoker at the time. He spent most of the time, he would get up and just go out into the lobby to smoke. He hated it. And ultimately, at the end, Roy Scheider ends up, he dies.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it takes a really long time for him to die.
I am with your dad so much on this. I hated that movie, and I'm a dancer, and I love dancing, and that movie is the...
It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, come on.
I'm not kidding. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Man, I'm with your dad.
He hated it so much. We walked out, and we saw, because I saw it about five times in the theater. One time, my dad goes with me, and he despised it, just like Mary. And so we're walking out of the theater. It's the Golf Mill Theater. There's a line of people outside. We're walking out, and my dad, and he was so furious. He hated the movie so much. He didn't even realize, you know, how loud he was talking or what was happening. He didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah.
He did not do it on purpose. But we're walking out of the movie, there's a huge line of people to see it. He goes, oh, my God, I couldn't wait for that guy to die. That was what he said. And the people in the line are like, thanks a lot, pal. I really appreciate that. So. Anyway. All right, Esmeralda, we'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
We're going to have some live music in tomorrow.
Oh, very cool.
All right, very cool. And all the Friday regular Friday features are back. News is next.